Well, isn't that just the start of a totally awesome show by me not realizing that I did even getting the words out of my mouth. I had the microphone turned on, which is why the music was so low starting out with the show. Let's pretend that didn't happen. Let me just turn off the mic again and I'll rewind this. Just a sec. Hi, hello, welcome to this first and flawless take on PMP versus Hamburg. Welcome along, everyone. It is Sunday afternoon, even for me. It is no longer nighttime where I'm sitting in a secret broadcasting basement location. I should tell everyone listening right off the bat, if there are connection issues or if the stream suddenly cuts off and goes back to the rotational, it is due to the somewhat wonky hookup that I am transmitting through. So, first of all, I'm hoping that this is even working at all through the relays, because I haven't really had much of a chance to test this. So, for all those lovely people joining us in the chat today to listen in, or at least I hope they're here to listen in, Chargo, Frogger64, Natas, Bitten, if you guys can hear me, just give me like a virtual thumbs up or something, just so I know that things are at least half decent. In the meantime, I have lined up a track requested at the last show about 2 weeks ago, Mordi Shape featuring Necropolo. Don't remember who requested it, but here it is. That's it. That is Mordi with Shape featuring Necropolo. Very, very, very short song there. Man, isn't it nice just to take a Sunday and just kind of relax, chill out, do whatever you want? I have lots of things on the schedule, but one of the things I did have as well today is doing this brief show. This is kind of a test show. You may have noticed that the title of the show is PMP versus Hamburg because, gasp, I'm now broadcasting from Central Europe, as opposed to Eastern Asia. I moved from Japan to Germany over the course of the past 2-3 weeks, which is also the reason why there hasn't been a semi-regular show. But I have been keeping up with Slay Radio here and then. Also listened into Boz's own kind of private radio thingy yesterday. I don't know if that has a title, perhaps. I didn't really catch it, but good nonetheless. And Chargo welcomes me back to this side of the planet, and I say thank you, happy to be here. But then again, I'm happy to be anywhere. I really need shitty sound effects to kind of highlight that stuff. Just like Balji has those cool claps and audience laughs and all that stuff. I have two very brief topics lined up to talk about, which I'll get into right after the song I've lined up here. Another request from the 3 week show ago, Run Stop C64 with Clubber Pulse. Breakdown section. Nonstop 64 Clubber Pulse. Oh, sorry about that. Spiked out the VU meter here. Sorry about that. I'm trying to kind of find my right tone level. Is this the right? Is this how Dodge? Or should I speak loud like? Jeez, no, that was too loud. Sorry about that. I think this is the right volume level to speak at here, the basement. I hope there isn't too much reverb down here because I really am broadcasting out of basement. And another fact you may have noticed is there is no co-host of any kind. There's not the co-host. There's not the guest host. There is the no host. And I already miss Phil quite a bit. It was very fun having him on the show. I hope he's probably not listening in. I'm sure he's too busy now that he's moving on up in the world. I hear he had a very sweet gig secured recently, played for Adidas, I think. They needed a performer, and Phil, of course, was more than happy to step in and lend his talents to the whole show. Anyway, I had a few topics I wanted to talk to you guys about, and not too many, don't worry, I won't yammer on for too long. And one of them is, you can barely swing a dead cat on YouTube without colliding with a somehow game-inspired show. And I'm not talking about the vast majority of trailer coverage or just new-age video games. No, I'm talking more about retro gaming. Like, nostalgia and YouTube seem to go together like, I don't know, lemon and soda. Anyway. There's a lot. The weirdest thing is, I mean, it's not surprising that there's a lot of them now, and that they are, and there's a number at top. Like, some, I'm sure people listening in might know. Well, that's nice. Shargo waves to Phil. Well, I'm sure if he was here, Shargo, he would wave back. I'm sure you guys have maybe heard of the Angry Video Game Nerd. Or maybe you've seen, what's one of the other, like JonTron or Pro Jared. Like, there's a number of those who just do these kind of weird offbeat games. But one of the more recent ones that I stumbled across that just hadn't really caught my eye yet was something called GameSack. And it's just this really, really saturated market of everyone kind of reviewing old consoles and giving their take on them. And it kind of then, you know, struck me, well, if we have this many people curating old game consoles, you could kind of use someone to curate all these blasted shows that are curating all these old games and game consoles. Like, there's so many of them. And, you know, which ones are worth following, which ones have good episodes. It's almost like equals three just for, like, nostalgic retro game videos. I don't know, I could see the fun part in that. Who knows? Maybe I also feel like I should at some point step up my game and offer a little bit more on PMP versus a city than just me talking and music. Because although those things are good, you know, if you look at a real radio show running over the actual FM airwave spectrum, you'll see that, you know, they have segments that are informative or useful. I mean, it also takes a shit ton of effort to actually generate that content. Like, I, you know, when Boz does a show and he has all those, you know, pre-made jingles or a bed running in the background or has gathered some sort of information, you know, that takes effort. You need to, you know, do that. And of course, there's some parts of the show that take less effort. Like, you know, on today, this thing happened. Like, you can look that on the internet and read it up, but, you know, it's still content one way or the other. You know, no harm, no foul. Well, in the meantime, the only content that I have that everyone wants and that I'm, of course, hoarding because scarcity means that it's so much better when I hand it over is music. So coming up next, X-Form-Z with Deflector. and it ends with a cowbell. And just to kind of highlight how goddamn the pits this internet connection kind of is, it's wonky in all kinds of weird ways. I've now lost DNS lookup, which is really weird. Name resolution now just fails on all my websites that I try to go on, which means I can no longer update the stream title. And this is like, I don't know why. The only resolution I found for this so far is to reset the Wi-Fi adapter. Or maybe I'll try pinging slayradio.org and see if I can just access it by IP address. Maybe I can ask someone. But so my internet connection is still going. You guys can hopefully still hear the stream going on. But I can currently not update any streams or do anything. God, well, maybe it'll be resolved soon, though. I've actually done some investigatory things here, and the internet might be improved, but it'll probably take a few weeks. But anyway, until then. And also, I have bought, like, I wasn't originally planning to do a show without a fixed cable hookup, because I know that it's one thing for the DNS server to just flip out and disappear. It's another if the connection keeps going on and off, and that happens as well. So my plan was to buy a cable, which I've already done. It's yet to be delivered. I'm expecting it next week, I guess. And then, you know, my shows, this problem shouldn't happen, at least for now. But yeah, people are being helpful and saying I'm coming in loud and clear, which is great. But yeah, I don't, hey, you know what, let's do like every other great radio DJ. When there's trouble brewing, you just put on a tune and it's like, hey, here's Let's Go by Berserk in honor of Phil. Part here. Let's go. Berserk with Let's Go. And indeed, let's fucking go. Like, that's a really, really nice song. Even Phase Bass was also like, wow, this sounds really good. And in case people don't know, you have half the length of this show left to join us on EFNet, on Slay Radio, where most people who are listening in, listen in. Well, they also listen in, but they write as well. And as usual, you can tweet at me at PlanMixPlay. And you can also use the shout box on the webpage. There are multiple ways of coming in contact with me sitting here manning this interface PMP and doing the show. Anyway, I was rambling on about how Phil wasn't here anymore, unfortunately. So that was kind of a small tribute song to him. I have another one lined up and also a second song. But let us, given that we're coming to the halfway point of the show, I thought let's talk a little bit about this other particular matter I wanted to highlight today. Mockbusters, or also sometimes referred to as knockbusters. I'm not sure if people are, I'm sure more people are aware of this than I was, but there are, for those of you not in the know, whenever a big blockbuster Hollywood movie gets marketed and you know, kind of lurches in this wayward, giant, enormous way that it kind of moves forward, throwing money at any sort of outlet that will take it and hype their movie, radio, TV, posters, I guess even artists, then there are these other movies that kind of show up alongside these big Hollywood blockbusters and try to just hype up that shit. They kind of do the opposite. They don't hype anything at all. They just feed off of all this, you know, interest there is in a movie. So let's take a good example would be Michael Bay's Transformers. His movie, of course, makes a big splash, has a huge hype machine, and then along comes another movie called Transmorphers and just feeds off all this hype surrounding this big Hollywood blockbuster. And I really want to say that their main business model is suckering poor chumps who don't know any better in picking up a copy of that movie instead of Transformers at a much reduced price. Like, these other movies, these mockbusters, aren't good movies. Like, they're pretty schlocky. I can't speak, you know, full disclosure, I have not seen any of them. I've just seen a few clips here and there, so I'm not, who knows, maybe there's some artistic brilliance buried deep in AVH, Alien versus Hunter, or Age of the Hobbits, which apparently was so infringing that it had to change its name to Clash of the, what was it? Let me look it up here. Age of What was it? It changed its name to Clash of Empires. That's right, because the Age of Hobbits apparently seemed to infringe just a little too much on the Hobbit movies. And they went to court for that. But yeah, so there's a lot of these mockbusters, or like when a movie franchise is so close to something that's within the public domain, like Thor, they will just make a movie called The Almighty Thor instead of just Thor. And looking at the cover and looking at the title, I can easily see how someone is, you know, confused into thinking that this is the real thing and picking that up and going home and then getting a rather nasty surprise popping it in the DVD player. And I think that the makers of this, so it's usually a company apparently called The Asylum, and at least they're so self-aware that they don't claim to be very artsy, like they are just kind of riding the wave of this popularity and making an alternate version of that. But in my opinion, you also can't really claim to do this and not say that a huge part of your business model is tricking people into thinking that this is the actual real blockbuster Hollywood thing. Because if that were the case, if this was not part of their business model, there would be a huge, like, easily identifiable stamp somewhere on there showing, hey, this is not this other thing that is currently very popular, and even though it looks really similar, it's not that. Like, if you look at Scary Movie or other big knockoffs like Hot Shots, those are, of course, slapstick comedy movies, so of course they'll have some sort of tell, like, I don't know, the guy's holding a chicken on behind a bow, or, you know, there'll be some easy tell. And these guys could do the same thing. They could easily make these mockbusters and make a, you know, poster or cover for their DVD sales. By the, of course, these mockbusters aren't shown in cinemas, by the way. They're only sold as straight to DVDs. And, you know, they could have some sort of telltale sign on there. It's like, yeah, this is the mockbuster version of this big video. So, because there are a bunch of fans who, of course, buy these mockbuster movies just because they are so damn funny to see in comparison to the Hollywood blockbuster. But that's probably not going to happen. In the meantime, I thought we would kind of guess at what LP Chip might say if he was here. And my guess would be he'd say, play one of my tunes. So this is Traz from LP Chip, the Chill Down Mix. I'm sure LP Chip won't mind if I talk over this very slow fade towards the end. That was LP Chip, a Traz chill down mix for LP Chip, because why not? Never mind, not important. Anyway, I was coming off of Mockbusters, and just to kind of finish off that note and talk about a few others, if you want to see a few... Oh man, a few attempts at this, in addition to Transmorphers, which is perhaps the most egregious one, because it's so, man, it looks like, if you don't know any better, that could so easily be the movie you think you're getting. Another good one is, instead of Iron Man, Metal Man, part machine, all hero, with Leah Grimson and Reggie Bannister, who I have never heard of before. But hey, that's no biggie. I actually kind of like when I see movies with the actors I don't know. And another good one is the Da Vinci, what is it? Wait, the original one is called the Da Vinci Code, I believe, and the Mockbuster is the Da Vinci Mystery. And I mean, that's the thing. Again, when these official Hollywood movies are so close to something within the public domain, these Mockbusters can really, really skirt the line of what is legal and make an almost identical copy. And the most shocking thing, perhaps, is that the Mockbuster version stars Lance Henriksen. And for those of you needing a brief refresher course, Lance Henriksen plays... is his name last name Weyland? I guess so. In the Weyland-Yutani Corporation in the Alien series in both Aliens and Alien 3. Whereas in Aliens, he's of course also just Bishop, the android made in the visage of Mr. Weyland himself. And I remember that always kind of bugged me in Prometheus, why they had... that was so confusing to me. I remember when I was watching the movie, because as much as makeup and CG has, you know, come along, it's still, you can kind of clearly see when it's a young guy in an old dude makeup suit, or if it's an actual old dude, or if it's a CG old dude. So in Prometheus, I remember watching, I was like, wait, why do they have this young guy in old man makeup? Like, why not just use an old guy? And at no point in the movie did I ever kind of get a resolution to that, because it was always just an old man. And I thought, could it maybe be that they wanted him to move a bit faster, do some scenes that maybe an old, you know, they wanted to not use a stunt double. But no, as it turns out, for those of you who don't know, Prometheus originally scripted and even I think shot a few scenes where they needed to have young Weyland or Mr. Weyland, and of course then it makes sense, you want the young guy for the young scenes and you can use him in old man makeup for the old scenes. But alas, when the film hit the final cutting room, it was cut, so there was never really any reason after all to use a young guy. But hey, who cares? Anyway, I have another short tribute song lined up since Phil is not with us. And in the meantime, maybe I should check if someone has... look at the request area, because... there's a few people. Kitten wants Wub Wub Now. And Shargo says the IRC requester seems broken, so Kent, Trace Valdi, and Monty Warlock chills at Arkanoid. Huh. I'll have a look for those two things. In the meantime, here is DJB with Pool Party for Phil. DJB pool party for Phil. And I'm also fairly happy to say that I guess this has been the case for a while now, but I in case you don't know, I feel so often in the show, it really bugs me that I've so often already used the phrase "in case you don't know" for the people not in the know. Who fucking cares? The point is, the interface that I use to broadcast with is one of my own construction. Of course, I haven't built anything from the bottom up, relying on tons of libraries and a lot of other shit, so, you know, standing on the shoulders of giants, yada, yada, yada. But the cool thing is, I have now done enough shows where I can confidently say that it kind of runs okay. Like, the crashes that have been in past shows are unfortunately all attributed to the integration of audience feedback, some of the systems that I kind of built on. And now that I have a little bit of more spare time, because I'm out of heavy publication that I was kind of running and getting ready to send off to a conference, I hope to be able to address some of that. But the most poignant thing actually that I'm working on right now is building out my website a little bit. I have a personal website where I, you know, present projects and previous work that I've done. And that's, as a researcher, which is, I guess, my main forte, very important. You need to highlight the projects that you've done and share your work and your effort, because if you don't do that, well, you don't have to, but it is such a useful networking tool. And one of the things that I really need to put in there is a blog, or a better blog, and not necessarily because I don't think a lot of people are going to read it. You know, there's so many blogs out there, so, you know, and I bet the vast majority of them don't get the readership that they deserve, but it's a self-motivating factor for me. It's very helpful to sit and work at something and feel that I want to achieve something with this, or I want to finish it. Not necessarily so it's done, but because I then have this motivation to also blog about it and be like, yeah, this has finally been achieved. Even if it's something as stupid as like, hey, here's a blog post explaining how you use this particular C++ library in this environment. Like, out of all the people on this planet, maybe five others in the whole species will have any use for that. But hey, then you help five people, and then your blog has life. I recently read another blog where someone also basically emphasized how important it was as a researcher to blog about something. And I think it's also more just making sure that your internet presence is, you know, constant, that something happens. And the only way to kind of make that happen is to just knuckle down and continuously do this. Like, there is no magic bullet. There is nothing that is going to do this for you. You simply have to kind of knuckle down. And every time you finish some project or made it a step further or done something no one else has done, or done something where you just didn't find the resources to figure it out on your own, you know, hey, make a post. Because, again, Google will find it. Someone else will track it down and then hopefully use the knowledge you've gained to do that as well. Kitten, you wanted some Wub Wub. I have lined up Kronberg with Great Guriano's Cyber Jungle Remix, because that is kind of Wub Wubby, and we are now entering into the final quarter of the show. I know it's a short one, but it was really just a kind of a testing to see everything where it works out. So enjoy that in the meantime. I'm great Gurianos from Kronberg, the Cybele Jungle remix, and I gotta say, nice alliteration in there. Great Gurianos. That is some very nice alliteration. And that was for a kitten who wanted some wub wub now, and I hope that was now enough. Hopefully that satisfied all your needs. Ah, man, it's already the end of the show. We have the last 7 minutes coming up upon us. I've already lined up a final track here. Chargo, you wanted a Kent Waldian Power Trace song, specifically Monty Warlock Chills at Arkanoid. Is that, I wonder if that, does that exist? Or is it just him kind of mashing up something like Monty on the Run, Warlock, and Arkanoid-y style stuff? I that's kind of the worst part about this. I should know, or it would be nice if I knew what the song sounded like, but I don't have it. But I will have it for the next show. In fact, it's already downloaded, lined up, ready to go. So don't worry, Chargo. I may have forgotten that you requested it, but it will be ready for next week's show. And yes, I do intend to keep these shows coming. I may move it, though. A few people have mentioned that they like this kind of Sunday afternoon thing. But a Sunday afternoon 1 o'clock show is also in the middle of everything. It kind of blocks the whole Sunday, you know? You can't really... I don't know. It's just... Yeah, it's in the middle. What else? There was something else related to movies that I just... Oh, yeah. The one final mini short rant of... We are truly... It is the age of remakes. You know, I'm all for a remake and a reboot of something if it adds some sort of significant angle or CG has gotten to a point where it can somehow do something that was not possible previously. And in one case, I almost feel like I'm not sure if I'd say I'd stand corrected, but I remember being shocked at the fact that there was another Spider-Man reboot being made 10 years after the first one. The first one with Tobey Maguire came out in 2002, and then the Mark Webb version came in 2012. And apparently those did tremendously well. I saw the second one on a Delta flight, I remember, with Jamie Foxx as the sort of nerdy scientist fan. I don't really feel strongly one way or another. I mean, for me, I'd imagine that anyone who likes Spider-Man would just be happy that there's more Spider-Man movies out there. But then they go and remake something like Point Break with Patrick Swayze and Matrix Man. God, I always forget his name. What is his name? Neo. Mr. Anderson. God damn it. He's in so many movies and he has this kind of weird, dumbfounded look on his face. God, that guy. And they're remaking that, not with anyone I think I know. And then recently I also learned that they're now also remaking Big Trouble in Little China with Dwayne Johnson instead of Kurt Russell. And I remember watching Big Trouble in Little China recently. I don't think it's aged particularly well, but that's perhaps also because I've never been a cult follower of that movie. I just remember watching it as a kid, thought it was very fun, and was pleasantly surprised at how wacky the plot turned out to be. But watching it again recently, man, there's a bunch of dialogue in there and a number of scenes that just don't really flow very well. So it's not surprising to me that it kind of bombed at the box office when it first came out. And now they're remaking it with Dwayne Johnson. And, you know, one part of me is like, no, Kurt Russell, how can you do this? You know, a travesty. And at the same time, no, I can totally see that. Like, the selling point for the movie is then that it's The Rock. Like, that there are a bunch of young kids these days who will probably just watch it because it's The Rock. And he's in this movie. And if the story is already kind of good and salvageable, then I don't know anymore. It's just, yeah, Raspor writes in Keanu Reeves, of course, that's the guy. Dr. Sloane, Hugo Weaving, yeah, that's the guy. That's, I mean, I guess he says Mr. Anderson. Natas is heading out, but that's okay, Natas, because so am I. I have one last request I'm going to play here for Chargo, because I couldn't really deal with his other Kent Waldian request. So you're going to get Way of the Exploding Fist instead with Power Trace. I hope that's okay with you. This part of the song goes on for a while, so I'm sure you guys don't mind if I just yak over it a little bit. And I'm going to wrap up the show here in a few moments. Just want to quickly say thank you to everyone listening in. Frogger64, Phase Based, Chargo, Natas Headed Out, Raspor, I saw Dr. Saloni as well, AP Chip, Casserain, lots of people in the chat. So thank you all for being the audience, the proverbial people listening and giving a crap. So much appreciated. And also, there is a sale going on Steam. Happens every summer, and the Steam sale is running, and no, I don't get any kickbacks for mentioning it. I personally feel the sales have been increasingly lackluster these years. I think it also has to do with the fact that initially there were enormous rebates on huge AAA games, and I think they've started pacing themselves a little bit. The big name developers have realized that we really don't need to go all the way down to 80% off or 50% off necessarily to make a big splash with our game. We can maybe just give 40% off. That being said, there is actually one more game. I've bought one game so far, Shadow of Mordor, because I held off on that when it was full price because I knew there'd be a Game of the Year edition, and just I have so many goddamn games, it's not even funny. Like, I will never play them all. Never. Not. I will go to my grave with a Steam account that has games on it that I have never touched. But being that that was the Game of the Year choice for a lot of people last year, you know, that's certainly a game. And my initial impression of it is also really good. It's funny because it's, in some ways, it's kind of, I don't know if I should say it's apparent that it wasn't a that it was not intended to originally be a intellectual property that involved Tolkien's work, that it was apparently a different type of game originally, maybe even a Batman game. And it just very much thrusts you in there. Like, it does. Some of the setup initially is a little bit, the pacing is not ideal, if you ask me. Like, I think the Batman games all have much, much better pacing than this game so far. But I think the mechanics and all the things that they try to do just all work really well. Like, I've only played the game an hour, and already, even though the combat is totally Batman combat, it looks fantastic, and the abilities already that you get straight out of the gate look good, and they just throw you straight into this sandboxy world that works really well for what we're capable of these days. Like, it's completely believable that you are this other person running around a jagged wasteland that is Mordor. So, yeah. And the other game that I'm looking at currently is actually Road Redemption. This kind of Road Rash, if anyone out there knows Road Rash, man, I played that quite a bit in a PC version back in the early 90s. And it looks like Road Redemption, it's an early access game, but it looks promising. And it's now 60% off. So I may very well throw some money in their direction, because what seems to already be done seems worth buying, to me at least. And then there's so many other games that, again, that I don't... The one last thing I will say, and then I promise I will leave you alone, and I will play a last song here. Yeah, just like Kaestrin says, kill an orc before bed. Don't get fooled. There are companies out there who I would say are misusing... I mean, when you see Steam sale, you're thinking, hey, you know, some sort of rebate that is worth throwing money after. It won't be this cheap again until, you know, the Steam Christmas sale or something. But watch out. Like, I really want to play GTA 5. I've held off on it because I, first of all, maybe don't have the rig that's ideal to play it. I think my laptop should be able to, but it's not, you know, it could be better. But also because I was kind of pissed. The game was released on PC almost, I think, a little after a year on consoles. And even though it was the HD version, like it had gotten a tremendous visual update, the game was pretty much the same game as you could get a year ago, just a little less high definition-y. And it was released at full retail pricing. And as a consumer, I think if you target the platform that I play on, and then expect me to pay full price, despite the fact that the game has been on the market for a year, I'm not going to pay for that initially. But I know I'm in the vast minority. I know they have sold a shit ton on PC. So I will never, like, me withholding my money and going like, heh, 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 I'm going to show you what matters. No, they couldn't care less. Like, they are making money hand over fist, even on the PC. But then for the sale, you'd think, you know, they'd maybe knock it down a notch or something. And yes, it is 25% off, but it's 25% off GTA 5 plus an in-game cash card that costs approximately 25% of the game's original price. So there isn't really a cheaper deal on GTA 5 right now. In fact, what you're essentially buying, if you buy GTA 5 on the Steam sale now, you're more or less getting the pre-order version that was available to people who, well, pre-ordered it. Because they also got a ton of in-game cash up front. So don't be fooled. If you were thinking that GTA 5 is on a rebate right now and you can buy that, nope. It is them, in my opinion, doing a kind of a nasty bait and switch and not really, yeah, letting it go down. So I'm not buying. I don't care. I will buy that game when it is, yeah, marked down somewhat significantly. But anyway, enough about my meandering old ways. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. This has been PvP PMP versus Hamburg. I'm going to take you out with Skits and Moog, the final grooving synth sample, and hopefully you'll be back. There is a show tonight, I believe, before I finish off here. Let's see. Schedule. Let's check out the schedule. Uh-oh. Has my DNS server gone down again? Don't. Oh, man. Let's see. Yep, DNS is down again, so I cannot check the schedule. Okay, well, I'm pretty sure Gert or Star, I think it's Gert, is doing a show tonight at around 8. I'm sure Boz is also doing a show later this week, so tune in for those. I will hopefully see all of you again when I get back on Sunday, perhaps. Again, thank you so much for listening in. See you next weekend. Breaking update, there is no show tonight. That show is Radio Awesome with Gert, Friday the 19th, so tune into that.